going to your fifth article, and I want to give that article to, not that you are forgotten, I'm sure you all know it better than I do. To share with you the UN obligation for this, for Parliament, but particularly for your own committee, and it states that state parties shall undertake such measures to maximize, to maximum extent of the available resources and where needed, within the framework of international cooperation. Articles 24 and 28, in dealing with health, education emphasizes that particular account shall be taken of the needs of developing countries. We also know that South Africa is party to, and has, that most recently, these commitments have also been reinforced by the Millennium Development Goals. And of course, all of these have direct or indirect implications for children. I want to share just very briefly some ideas for possible partnerships. As I said before, the partnership with the South African government and UNICEF is not new. We've been working annually for this would be the end of the third UNDAP period with the South African government. The UNDAP is the United Nations Development Framework. And every UN agency at the end of every year work on an annual work plan with specific government departments. However, the parliamentary liaison office, which I head, is fairly new. We only started in 2007. And the specific goal of this office is to support institutions of parliament, including the researchers, the committees, the portfolio committees, and on both the National Assembly level as well as the NCOP with your oversight mandate as far as it relates to children. Four important elements in terms of a possible oversight program. We can, of course, not oversee children if we don't understand children's issues. So one of the key elements of such a program could be the imperative of deepening our understanding and our capabilities for a human development approach to analyze and understand children's rights, vulnerabilities, as well as service delivery. The second imperative to oversight framework will be the imperative to strengthen the institutional mechanism that is responsible for children and the delivery for child rights services. We know that we now have a brand new ministry, a ministry that is yet to conclude its own mandate, its institution and machinery to deliver for children, in particular to define its relationship with the other government departments. We're also aware that the old ORC is now captured under the new ministry. The ORC is started from a national perspective as well as the provincial ORCs now is in the process to define the mandate and again how it will work with other departments as well as the NGO sector. One needs to understand that, unpack that to ensure that children's rights are in fact delivered. The third issue in terms of oversight framework is the imperative to deepen and harness our monitoring and our evaluation system. We cannot do that if we do not have good data systems, good research, and in fact data systems that talk to each other. So we do need to upscale our research and our knowledge development capabilities. And then fourthly, in terms of oversight framework, it will be important for this committee and to form important and to enhance important partnerships. partnerships with international agencies, provincial, as well as national NGOs and other stakeholders in the child rights community. In terms of our work currently, we have started in with Parliament. We have started to work with the National Assembly and particularly with the presiding officers. Last year, we've worked with both the Speaker and Deputy Speaker in terms of formalizing UNICEF's relationship with Parliament. This year, there's a meeting pending, and the UN Rep will soon meet the Speaker of the National Assembly to formalize the relationship. This follows a sort of responsive relationship that we had last year. The idea this year is that there will be much more systematic and much more firmer institutionalized relationship between UNICEF and Parliament. On the National Assembly level. On the NCLP level, last year we worked with the research unit as well as NCLP on a round table which brought together provincial legislatures and the NCLP institutional staff to unpack what the third parliament has done for children and to think about what the possibilities are for this parliament. And I'm sure Kashifa and Joy has alluded to the report that was the outcome of that workshop. This year with NCOP, we just recently concluded a presentation access and CG planning workshop and have a draft work plan with the NCOP. The idea is with the NCOP that we would work with four or five provinces this year to strengthen their oversight framework, of course, the child rights oversight framework. We hope to conduct a two-day workshop in each of the provinces to strengthen the oversight framework, and I'll talk a little bit about that in terms of what I mean when I talk about the oversight framework. We have already invitations from three provinces, which we hope to kickstart their workshops really in very soon. There, of course, the imperative, and something that we want to mention to you as well, the imperative to understand, and I think we all are getting worried about that sometimes, that in fact, we talk on provincial level about children, we talk on national level about children, and we remain strategically thinking about children, but children actually live their lives in communities and in their houses and in their homes. And it's important for us somehow to find ways to bridge the gap between these different levels so that we reach children where it really matters most in their communities and with their families. And for that reason, it is important for us to start to engage with the local councillors in those specific wards and to think through the relationship between your committee, the NCOP structures, and the local councillors, particularly when you go down to do your constituency work. And at some point, it'd be good to have a conversation around how do we institutionalize that kind of relationship and the strategic advantages for that synergy between the different structures in the houses, in Parliament, and those, of course, working with children. In terms of UNICEF support and what we can do for you at this level, we have prepared a file for you, and I just wanted to talk about that file, the content of the file, please. The file in front of you stood out a thick sort of a one-stop resource package. We hope in the future that UNICEF will be able to partner with the research unit and with the chairperson to actually develop something like this for yourself and together with you. the committee that is something for you to start off with. The first pamphlet talks about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Gives you an overview of what the convention is and the specific articles relating to the convention. The second pamphlet is on the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, talking about our obligations through the AU and the AU Charter. Again, a one-stop overview of the Charter. Then the next set of has specific topics. So one is an overview of, sort of a general overview on parliamentarians promoting children's rights. This is a general overview of child rights in South Africa. Then one on children and poverty. The one on poverty, education, child abuse and neglect or protection, and one on health, provides you on each of these topics specific information about the situation of children in South Africa pertaining to that topic. So in the pamphlet you will see, for example, a particular pertaining to learning or education, and all four of them are set out in the same way. What are the issues in South Africa pertaining to education? What must be done? What you could focus on when you are doing your oversight visit, and then put some steps at the back there. It's a one-stop knowledge package, if you wish. So that was the complement of UNICEF. You'd also find a copy of the Constitution in terms of children's rights specifically, a list of the NDGs, and some other material. So that's the package that we prepared for you. And then just finally on the programmatic areas on which UNICEF is currently focusing with the government of South Africa. As I said earlier, each of the UN agencies signs a program of action with government agencies. Yes, it's a bilateral agreement with government and UNICEF. However, that bilateral agreement translates into programs of action with each of the relevant departments. So, for example, in November of every year, the Department of Education will meet with UNICEF's Education Department. They will inform UNICEF about what their priorities are, and they will choose specific areas for UNICEF to support. In education, health and child protection, as well as social policy. So in your presentation, they've given you some ideas of what's currently happening between UNICEF and our programmatic division in Victoria. For health, the areas for health are quality improvement programs in maternity and neonatal care, improving the pre and post-natal care facilities in hospitals, the integration of PMTCT plus pediatric HIV care, improving and strengthening community-based integrated management of health and childhood illnesses, and then infant and young child feeding. Those are the health priorities. For education, a huge amount of investment and resources goes into the child-friendly school initiative with the Minister of Education, focusing on all 585 identified priority schools in the country. And each province has specific schools which UNICEF is focusing on, both in terms of learnership development, leadership development, and refurbishment of schools. And then sport for development also under this education program, and again a program focusing on control, substance abuse, and then of course prevention and focusing on teenage pregnancy. With regard to protection, there's a program, I think maybe I should just say that a focus area this year is support for the implementation of the New Children's Act. And at some point, it'd be important for us to probably talk a little bit more in detail about the significance of the Children's Act and the role, possible role of the committee with regard to oversight in terms of the implementation of the New Children's Act. A huge milestone for South Africa, but if it's not implemented and monitored, it will probably remain on the paper. Then we support the Children's Data Center through the NPA. And again, also the Department of Justice with regard to the implementation of the new Child Justice Act. Lastly, to say that, in fact, this committee has a huge start in terms of oversight. And UNICEF, again, wants to commit itself to that role. And particularly pertaining to two areas. One, capacity development in any of the areas that you may deem fit. And the second area is in terms of supporting institutional capacity in relation to all the mechanisms and modalities that is supposed to implement the UN Convention, the Constitution, and the legal framework pertaining to child rights in South Africa. You are the elected representative. You do go well to remind yourself of the quotes of Oliver Tambo as well as Nelson Mandela. Who said maybe this award crumbles first, a country that does not care for its children has no future. And Madiba said there can be no cleaner revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children. We wish you especially well for your term, and again, you can rely on our support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Actually, I was not aware that day when we spoke, I was not aware of your role, to be quite honest. I think this has helped us made a clearer picture of the role that you play. But for a change, we have partners that are not wanting from us. They are giving to us. So, when you talk about child, how in terms of age, how far do you go?
In under the South African Constitution and also the UNCRC, 0 to 18. We also note the overlap between the ages of youth and children.
Could I just give an opportunity to remember to get clarified on some of the issues, questions that could be asked?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Rose for an outstanding presentation. I'm particularly delighted to have all this information at hand because this is a new committee for me. It's always been a matter of the heart, but I've never had the opportunity of serving on the committee. So I think we will tap on your door. I just wanted to know which promises you have identified and you know, which have already responded to your initiative.
Thank you, Chen, and thank you for the presentation you just gave to us now. I just wanted to ask, what does UNICEF say about the rights of the children with disabilities?
Thank you, Chair. I also want to say thank you very much for the presentation. And then I would also like to know from those, do you have this practice in any other language?
You know. Nothing.
Oh, so we can request it.
Okay, fine. The partnership is on mostly on oversized care and the we also have a constituent office within the community. What role could we play regarding the constituent offices out there?
Your international reporting application. I think it will be important for us to know what they are and if there's a copy, to give us a copy on these applications and if it is within the standard you gave us. And then just a comment on when it comes to priorities now and decisions. You know that you can use and even actually speaking to education. When it comes to the neonatal care unit, it's a safe skill working hospitals, and I think it will be important for us to encourage our children that being nursing as a profession to study, you know, those for that course. I think it's your master's skill. Because if you look at the problems we are having at hospitals with children are dying in these care units, it's because you do not have enough staff that has the degree to care for our children in your neonatal care. Thank you.
That program of action should then be monitored as part of the
the oversight framework of the provincial legislation. So we hope in the provinces, that's the kind of work that we will be doing within during that two-day workshop that we're planning with them. Thus far, Limpopo, the Western Cape, and Gauteng has in fact responded and was requested for dates, and we will be working with them soon. We hope that, and again, you know, whoever's ready will receive the support. So really, whoever wants to, it's not a sort of selected process at all. It's a commitment to put for children first. With regard to the languages, unfortunately, we do only have these translates in English for the support of the MPs themselves. Particularly in terms of constituency offices, again, if there are specific requests, let us know what they are. And secondly, it's not something that can't be done. And again, UNICEF is not only the Parliament office. UNICEF has a huge infrastructure in Pretoria that pertains to specific focal areas, education, health, nutrition. And again, if you need to have seminars or to strengthen public participation in your constituency, that can absolutely be arranged on any of the topics that you might want to engage public participation in. Linda Mark's priorities, I agree totally with you in terms of the neonatal and strengthening of the services and facilities for babies and mothers at community level. Again, it's one of our main priorities and focus areas for UNICEF at the head office. And again, with regards to capacity for your own committee, if there's any of these topics that the committee wants to have a study group on, or seminar on, or want to have capacity building exercises on, it's good for the office.
Thank you.
I have recognized some of them for Patsy and Robinson. You mentioned here that we could work with local government. We need to sit and plan as to how we would make our entry into some of these municipalities, because they never speak about these things, you know. You would not find perhaps you would get a desk on gender, but you wouldn't get a desk on children. Perhaps as members of parliament, we need to try and talk some sense into some of these municipalities. I recognize Duncan and
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just so I'm noting what you're saying. In the speech of the minister, she's referring to advisory bodies that you get the role of in the provinces as well as in local government. So maybe we can have a discussion around that. I just want to ask Professor Fatima, in terms of the report, what is in this report? Do you make sure that you give, for instance, in the case of children, facts on the real thing? How many children are active in for instance, in working, you know, in labor that are not supposed to be? Then also the child in the household, how many we have, that is a problem. Child trafficking, child pornography, all of those issues. Do you actually point out these things, you know, in these reports? So, because if that is not the case, Jefferson, then I would have a problem. Because I cannot see what else these reports should have. It shouldn't be a pretty report, because our situation in this country is not pretty. Especially when it comes to children. So I would really like to know with regard to sex, whether that is to the point and no you know, no nice words. time to picture, or sketch a nice picture, you know, in a favorable position. And maybe Jefferson, maybe I want to say the last thing. My concern to UNICEF, maybe they can look at it. My biggest concern is money, is budget. I'm going to bring it under your attention. In the province, we had, under social development, a budget of 1.8 million, of which 610 million were circulated among more than 800 NGOs in the Western States. And you simply don't see the difference. You don't see that children's lives change. For the NGOs, and I said, I'm not against the NGOs, they must not get me wrong. But either the program is not applicable anymore, or maybe we need to change that. And my advice at that point in time was that the minister and the department have a meeting, a summit with our NGOs to see whether they are in fact in line with legislation, with certain procedures and all of that. And maybe UNICEF can help us, because I don't think that government can actually do that for the budget that we are talking about. The budget that this department are going to have is even less than the gender commission, as well as the new youth development agency. The department's money is not clear. So maybe UNICEF can do something internationally with regard to funding, more than all these strategic plans. And I think I really believe that there is enough strategic objectives.
And also, in addition to what Honorable Patrick said, does UNICEF have a way of measuring as to how good CACIFA could say a particular country is adhering to the declaration, especially on the ones that we are dealing with on the rights of the child? Do you have a way of checking, you know, yes, this country is doing well, this country is not doing well, and so on and so forth?
Thank you. I just like to follow on from what Patty was saying about funding. Work that I did earlier years was involving street people, and we found that a great deal of money that was being allocated to street people was actually going for funding of offices and paying of salaries, and it didn't go to the street people themselves. And at that stage, we instituted an umbrella body which was going to check on the credentials of NGOs before they made application for funding, whether it was from the city or from the province. And this is work. And I think this is something that you could assist us with, because so often you have the big summit, but what you really need is a task team that's going to go in and investigate. And you don't have to announce that you're coming, but go in and then ask for business plans and see how the money is actually being used. Are they doing something that's really going to make a change? Or a difference in the life of whether it's a street child, street person, or, you know, some other institution. I think this is our biggest problem. We do have funding available, but it's not properly used. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just a follow-on. And then my original question was, I'm delighted to hear about all the assistance that you are able to provide. Mm-hmm. Could we please have names, telephone numbers, and just give us the information so that we know where we can go, on which door we can and which the most effective means of doing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. What I would like, because I just underlined it, is for Professor to speak to the scorecard, and then, because you got your announced, the understanding of the situation, the well-being of children, and what is the food stand all about.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
would like to ask a question. Well, especially on health, mothers or pregnant women. What is your advice on, we are talking of the life of a child. Sometimes it starts at home or it starts next door. Like for instance, if I find that as a grandmother, I go to an extent of spoiling my grandchild. Like sometimes you drop them at the mall, give them the money, and you don't know what happens. The whole Saturday in the mall, you fall into wrong hands. And then sometimes at home, you say, this is my grandchild, the only girl I have among my grandchildren. She has the right to do this, that, and the other. She has the right to have cell phone. She has the right to have whatever she wants. And at the end of the day, what I've realized, more especially where I've been traveling, is that kids who are well looked after or who are a bit spoiled, whose parents have almost everything, are the ones that are getting into the kids that we're talking about today. Now, my question is, I'm a bit worried. I want to be honest with honorable members and professors. I have only grandchildren. I have a feeling that maybe I'm spoiling. I want an advice. How do you reach out that now I'm spoiling, since she's now getting, even if you see that she's getting everything she wants to go to buy, sometimes you say, no, she's getting out of rent. And then you say, oh, by the way, she's my friend, let me give her the money. Let me get the driver to take her to the mall. Mm-hmm. So how can a mother, how can we as a grandmother control that and say, even if she has the right, here I stand and say, no. I think you understand what I said. Thank you very much.
That should be right, exactly what you are talking about. You don't even know how to put it.
I think I asked a question about the people, children with disabilities. What does UNICEF say? It wasn't answered. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As any child, we absolutely believe that any child born with a disability has equal rights to any other child in terms of opportunity. So we absolutely in a nutshell that is it. And we do have information on that if you're specifically interested on children with disabilities. Honourable Chair, the issue around municipalities is increasingly important. We have just had a seminar with municipalities on the creating child-friendly communities. And that is an opportunity that we're working with the new minister on, and it would be really great if we could at some point have a joint meeting with yourself and the ministry on mechanisms to strengthen child-friendly municipalities, because that is exactly where it matters. There's also a study tool being planned to Brazil that has started this long time ago, successfully worked with municipalities to create scorecards on how municipalities are doing for creating child-friendly cities. They instead have a scorecard annually given by either the mayor or the premier on how they, and there's a competition run for municipalities that adhere to certain criteria. Interesting program that we could talk to about at some point. But there are mechanisms to enhance the deliverables of municipalities in the IEP for children. With regard to the reporting, on how they are implementing the UN, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. So there's two reports. You see, in the pamphlet that I gave you, is one on the UNCRC, and countries can respond to all of those articles, or they choose a number of articles. They select on which articles they want to report on. This report, the government report, is being submitted by Foreign Affairs to the UNCRC committee. That committee is the international committee that in fact oversees the UN Committee on the UNCRC. They then rigorously go through this report. They invite government, and hopefully next time this time, to present the UNCRC report to the committee. They then go through you with rigorously through the UNCRC article, and they look at your response. They then almost mark you, and they then give you feedback on how you are doing as an international, as a country that has signed and ratified the UN Convention. So that's in that way you are being measured, if you wish. And so that's for every country that has ratified you, your first report comes after the first 5 years, and then after that, after 2 years, and after that, every 5 years, we're supposed to submit a report. The government has a report, but civil society also has a report. That report is called a alternative report or a shadow report. So the civil society would then give their own version and interpretation of how government is doing, and they too present that to the UNCRC committee in Geneva.
Okay, but I think that this would maybe not be such a good report with that.
Well, we'll see. There's a draft report available, and it would be good if the committee could request that from the new ministry for your information. Again, the issue of money is always important. Again, if UNICEF on an annual basis has meetings with yourself and of course our counterpart, the executive, there's an opportunity to look at what the gaps are, and UNICEF then mobilize funds for specific needs that are articulated either by yourself or the executive for the next funding cycle. The firm will come to you and say, in terms of preparing for next year, what is it that you would like us to support? Mm-hmm. And in that way, we mobilize funds to support what you need to do. I also agree with regard to the important role that NGOs are playing. And the Department of Social Development has an arm that looks after oversight of NGOs. And again, it might be a question that you might want to ask the DNC, how functional that arm is in terms of accountability of NGOs. But once again, I think we're really blessed in this country to have the quality and quantity of the NGOs that we also have here. They're not saying that we shouldn't monitor them, though. But it is a question of having a good idea ourselves and understanding of what is the particular challenges that we all should address in a team and a healthy partnership. Lastly, the issues before the last one, the scorecard, the idea again is that if every province, and later on maybe we hopefully, municipality knows what the gaps of the situation is of children in the municipality of province, you then have a strategic plan or a program of action or a work plan for children. That work plan must then relate to specific criteria or indicators. That indicators need to be scored. And one hopes that through the development of an oversight framework with you, that one can devolve that kind of capacity from the National Assembly through the provinces, through municipalities, that is one aligned oversight framework for children that can be scored either biannually or annually, so that you could then say after your term, every second Africa at least in terms of its children.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the issue of parenting. there's no quick fixes, and I think I always say when I speak to parents from our own personal experiences is that, you know, South Africa, we were so fortunate that the child rights agenda and the child rights activists were so vigorous and so, just so very good.
Mm.
So they ran the child rights agenda just like that. But the people that supposed to have looked after human rights was not as effective. So many parents have not started to look at their own rights, who they are, and the fact that they also have rights in line with children's rights. So children have as much rights as they have responsibilities. And if we look through a lens of citizenship, whether you're an adult or a child, unless we understand both rights and responsibilities, we will always struggle with this balance of whose rights to perceive what. So I wanted to make that point. And the other point I wanted to make, that is hard work rearing children, and particularly in terms of understanding that we all were human beings, because we were parented from another clock.
Mm-hmm.
When we learn to democracy, when we ourselves didn't understand the issues of rights.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get to terms with our own rights, it's easier to understand children's rights. And again, we have wonderful resource materials, ma'am, on parenting. So, and so good tips to parents in a new dispensation that is so difficult to understand, particularly from our own perceptions, having been parented from a specific paradigm and not necessarily from a right paradigm. I hope I've responded to all the questions.
Thank you. Even before getting to our local independences, we also need to start right here with our department and check with them as to what do they have as their priorities in terms of children's rights. So right here in front of us, we need to do that. It seems to be quite a great deal of work, but we will try and see how far we could get. And even on the issue of parenting, we could try and hold little workshops with the little children we are talking about, so that they could understand that while they have rights, they have responsibilities as well. That goes with rights, because the sometimes we feel as parents we are being cheated by these kids, when it comes to their rights. So I think we will have to find some time as a committee. We will definitely need your support. We will come up with something as a committee, send it over to you and see your availability, and we will take it from there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think your information was sent to the committee.
Thank you. One issue that you raised, but I just wanted to say the last point on in terms of the advisory council. The ORC currently, in terms of institutional systems as it worked before, when the ORC was still part of the policy unity, the presidency, there was, in terms of public participation and making sure that there is broader participation in the child rights sector, the ORC was supported by the advisory council. That advisory council was not never formally the policy pertaining to the advisory council is not necessarily formalized, but it was there, the advisory council. So the advisory council supported the ORC, constituted the national government department, so they report to the advisory council, as well as the OSCs of provinces. And then there was a component of civil society that is supposed to be part of that advisory council. What that developed was that in every province, there is an office on the rights of the child. And that office on the rights of the child was convened, I should say, provincial advisory council, who formed sort of the nucleus of child rights programs for the different government departments. And within that context, the new minister is looking to capacitate those structures as the arms and the leg of the new ministry.
Thank you very much. In fact, today we are going to adopt our program of action. But seemingly, looking at some of your templates, you have added to our program of action. You know, in one of your templates, I've seen that you have actually done work for us, which we need to add into our program of action. That on the committee side, I would request that if we could get the documents of this earlier. So let's get the documents in the same day of the meeting. I'm sure we're going to interact more efficiently. I mean, you've given us so much information, but I'm sure we'll correct it on our part. And for now, may we say thank you to you. We will interact with you shortly. Thank you very much. Are you going to sit with us? That's fine, can we move on to our next item, the adoption of minutes on the 8th of July? Oh, the other presentation, sorry about that. Yeah, correct. We have the second presentation by Cambridge Ball. That was difficult for us.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Dear honorable members. First of all, a very good morning to all of you. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come and present our work. My name is Sarah Kambuja. I've been here already. And I'm going to, with my colleagues, we're going to talk with the organization I work for and the work we do and our intention to be supportive of the work of the portfolio I would start to talk a little bit about what it is the Irish term apart from the very complicated thing. this foundation is a political foundation. It is associated with the Green Party in Germany. That's why we have that complicated name. But we are part of a big global green movement. So I thought, or we thought, we would give you a bit of an overview of what is this green movement, because normally it is associated with ecological concerns and concerns to the environment, climate change, all those issues related to a sustainable development environment. But there are other values associated with the green movement, with the green, the idea of being politically green, let's put it this way. And those values come
regarding the rights of human beings, regarding the right to every person to participate and to have a voice and determine the purpose of the society where they live. It is also associated with ideas related to universal standards of human rights. It is also associated with principles of non-violence. So that means you just don't go and kill the other person just because you're having a conflict. You try to solve it with peaceful and non-violent means and instruments. Also, ideas of solidarity in society, solidarity amongst each other, which we think it promotes democracy, it sustains peace, and it enables a conducive environment for human development, in a sense. So these are basic ideas that are associated with the Green Movement. Not least important is women and the role position of women in society and all the conflicts associated with power in the relationship between the gender. We look a lot at marginalization processes and we try to address vulnerabilities that can create this marginalization. So the first in general about what is the value, the ethics of the organization I'm here to represent today. Now, the Irish Burn Foundation has its headquarters in Germany, to German political foundation, but we have offices in 27 offices throughout the world. And we are more or less present in 60 countries. We just don't do political work in Germany. We try to support also political initiatives and citizenship in other countries. In South Africa, the office was established in 1989, initially in Joburg. And we basically focusing originally in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Namibia, which are the three partner countries we have at the moment. In South Africa, or the regional offices focus on three main areas. The three main areas are sustainable development, where we look at issues related to climate change, to water, and to biopolicy, basically gender, genetically modified products, and we look at human and political rights, and we focus a lot on gender justice, gender-based violence, on migrants and women, and the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersexual people. Some people that have faced violence of discrimination, hatred, violence, homophobia, because of their sexual orientation. The third topic, or the third focus area we have is democracy, where we try to capacitate civil society to participate in parliament, work for gender justice in democratic institutions. So, what do we do concretely? The next slide speaks to some of the examples, some of the organizations we partner with. We have done a big study and research on the climate change in the region and how this is impacting on women and their situation. We partner with an organization in Western Cape called Women on Farms Project, where we try to address issues related to security of tenure, to stabilize in the farming community. And we work with an organization in Cape Town, the Women's Legal Center, that is trying to advance constitutional rights of women. We also operate at another level, and I was thinking about it as I was mentioning things related to reports and our state reports to the compliance with international treaties. So one of the projects we have started to support is the development of guidelines, sort of templates for state reporting on their compliance with the Women's Protocol. And this guideline should be adopted by the African Union in order for states then to report according to those guidelines. And then clear, for example, the budgets that states have put into measurements to comply with the obligations of the Women's Protocol. With the Center for the Conflict and Reconciliation in Joburg, we have conducted a research and a study on how xenophobia has impacted in the lives of migrant women. What are the causes? What are the responses? It was just to look at xenophobia through a gender lens. And we have a partner case called that tried to build awareness among young women in political parties on gender and government. This is in a nutshell a very broad description of what is the organization. And my place in that organization, at the moment, I'm acting director, and I manage a program called Political and Human Rights. So I just would like to thank you for having us. Thank you for listening to us. And my colleague Karen is making this more complex on our democracy program, which means
that would be of real interest to the specific roles and functions of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Will you continue with the next presenter? Thank you, and honorable chairperson and honorable members, and thank you again for your time and opportunity to present. My name is Karen Lindsay, and I'm the program manager for the Public Health Foundation.
The next one speaks to me, and we try to be concrete and say, why are we here today, and what would we like to use this opportunity for? And the reason I'm not here is because the aim of the democracy is to change my sorry about that. With the democracy program, what we're trying to do is we're trying to support the development of constructive relationships between our partners, many of whom you've heard about a moment ago, wider civil society and parliament. And what exactly do we mean by that, by constructive relationships? I think we mean that there are wonderful spaces for engagement that South Africa's democracy affords, and yet at times there are barriers to that engagement and making the most out of it. In contributing to our democracy. One of these barriers that we try to address is by working with CDOs or marginalized communities who often are the ones who are most in need of being heard and yet often do not have the capacity or the resources to get here and bring their voices to you. However, we also are interested in the work of more established NGOs like some of our partners. And we find that although, as the previous presenter mentioned, we have really wonderful organizations working in this country, often a barrier to their participation is how they understand their role and responsibilities with regard to democratic institutions and specifically parliament. And I think also, Honourable Chairperson, you mentioned earlier how relieved you were to hear an organisation who was here to support you. I think that it would be wonderful if we could move to building a relationship between parliament and civil society more widely that is supportive, that is not just about taking, but it's also about giving, and it's about exchange and cooperation and mutual support. And it's really about seeing civil society invested in this institution and protecting it and owning it and embracing it. And that is the change that we would like to see. Sorry about the special effects that are being very special. The other reason we are here specifically in this committee is because we think that Carlos outlined some of our principles, but specifically we think that the issue of gender equality is absolutely central to all of the government's priorities and is at the heart of addressing the bill. We don't think that you can appropriately address issues of rural development, of education, of health, and of poverty without empowering women. And so we find the work of this committee to be absolutely key and critical to the development of our country. We would like to be able to support the work of this committee and to get seat because we find it to be so important. And because we have not interacted with this committee extensively before, we thought that perhaps we would come here with a very solid and simple proposal that perhaps could be a first step in initiating a conversation between ourselves. And with our partner, which Paula has mentioned a moment ago, the Gender Advocacy Project, we would like to facilitate an informal meet and greet session between this committee and key civil society representatives. And the aim would be, again, really to foster a spirit of cooperation, mutual responsibility in which civil society must share. And also to say, I mean, the committee is new, it's beginning with its work. There are many organizations out there, some of whom you might find would be useful to your work and to your role, and that it would be very useful to meet and exchange information with them about your priorities and their work and what they can offer to support. However, since we are here making a formal presentation, which we didn't anticipate from the beginning. We thought that this would be more of an informal conversation, but we really appreciate this opportunity. We thought we would mention some of the other work that we're doing specifically with the Gender Advocacy Project, which might be of interest to the committee members. And something that we're looking at this year is because the landscape with regards to specifically gender equality has rapidly changed since the election. We would like to look at a series of policy papers that look both at what lessons can be learned from the past of our experience of the institutional gender machinery, but also how in this new configuration will different actors play different roles and how will that relate to each other. And what will be key issues that will need to be looked at. Secondly, we will also in the short term host with GAP, host a seminar in the Static Protocol on Gender and Development. And the idea there would be really to say again that this is a relatively new development and that both civil society and our gender institutions should be looking at how to implement the Status Protocol and how to make it a reality, how to meet the targets that it sets, and how we can cooperate on achieving that goal. However, just to stress that this is really, we think this is a first conversation that we will have with you, and that we would like to take this conversation further. whether those are additional information packs, as you know, that was handed out, engagements and fora that look at gender issues, which will be a regular event that we will go establish next year, as well as really identifying ways to assist communities and community-based organizations in coming here and making input into your oversight processes, into the annual report processes, and into unpacking how to address the priorities that the government has set out and that the State of the Nation sets out every year. So thank you very much for your time, the opportunity again, and our contact details are on the slide. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was going to ask you, but then you explained, I wanted to understand as to how you saw us as Parliament, you know, playing a role, but then you explained that. But you need to build relationships with civil society, like the Berlin one. Yeah, I just wanted to understand that. But for now, let me hand over to committee members. To get clarity on some of the issues that you have raised or questions. Over to members.
It's all in line with what I said before, Chairman. I'm just very glad to also see that we have yet another organization in the country that can assist. But maybe what I can say, Chairman, is I see on your slide and beyond, assisting CDOs input into annual report processes. Maybe just a recommendation. To again, what I said to many CDOs and NGOs, but they mustn't any longer just look at annual reports, and rather quarterly reports, because you know, things change, and to rectify or to rethink are we still on the right track, to change all of those things, I would really advise that you further assist them with quarterly reports and even submission reports instead of just annual reports.
Thank you. I also just want to echo the words. Very valuable. I'm very glad to have met you. It was not an organization I was aware of before, and our society is in need of so many helping hands. I think we can only just reach out and say thank you for the further information as well, which we could use in communities which are so very marginalized. And while the emphasis is on marginalized communities and people who have had disadvantages, I was in hospital not so long ago, and I was talking to one of the doctors, and she said, you know, one always thinks the problems are in poor communities, but when you're in a hospital and you're on the inside and you see why people come to hospital in the middle of the night, you actually realize the problems are throughout society. So we need to deal with these relationships between women and men and their families. And if we can help to build up women so that they can be stronger in dealing with conflict and asserting themselves, accepting responsible rights, and giving rights, but also insisting on responsibility from all members of them, I think we will go forward.
I wanted to keep the knowledge that the government must build relationships with society, that is true. But this is an expression we have from members. The problem is that sometimes we don't know who will order the community shape of a member of that government that has that. The question I wanted to ask is there somewhere or in the front of something called peace that is that all the CDOs and NGOs, I don't know if it's still there, because of some demand, some rise and fall, some. So is there some kind of a something like Bruce Wood, you know, the person with the animal, then I'm saying you should die, they take you out of food. So, I happen to mention something, because you could have that and you know how to relate to the people of them. Because you know who is there, and what is he doing, which area he is taking.
I'm sure that they'll be in a better position to tell us who, so that they actually work for some of this civil society. And also on the issue of the informal meeting that you spoke about, we will discuss that with the committee and, you know, take a position as to when we could have that. I don't think the committee members would have problems with that. And I was also very interested. And I think it was in the first presentation when you spoke about the Communal Land Rights Act, because we also have lots of concerns around that. So I'm sure we will interact and see where you could be of support to us as well. I don't know whether members have exhausted.
We wanted a women's parliament, I think it was in Mpumalanga, and from the province, and I got a hold of some stats, and I think they said that 4%, only 4% of women only 4% of women own land globally in the world. Only 4%. I think maybe if we can just I can't remember from which set it came, SA or H. So maybe if they could, because I think that that is going to be important, that is going to be part of our maybe strategic planning. Because we didn't have to get more women owning land in the world than 4%.
And so if we could get the specific percentage, we found it so, I'm not sure as well, we could get the proper percentage of as to how many women own there, we could get that. Have we lost it? Thank you very much to the presenters, Karen and, what is the first lady there? Thank you so much to the two of you. And what I wanted to just get from the professor and the two of you. You don't have problems with funding like we do. I mean, if we could make some sort of request,
The challenges are so deep.
Yeah, and the challenges are big and the resources are limited. I understand that. But I think we could get something out of this.
But I think if there are requests, we would definitely be very happy to engage with you.
Thank you so much to the chocolate. We will then interact with you shortly. Thank you very much. Could we then go to our next item, that is adoption of the minutes. We have a copy of those minutes, okay?
Yes.
ceremony from the 8th of July. Have we gone through the minutes? Also, we have to go through them and see whether they're in line with what she said. Do you have a copy?
No.
So we just quickly go through the minutes.
I don't see any changes that
should be made. Thank you.
Tell me
for me. And what's the feeling of the other members as well? Are the minutes in order?
Yes.
Other than that, are the minutes in order?
I move.
Any second for the minute for the mover? No, you can't second because you are not part of the meeting.
Yeah.
Can we pass that item? Are we all fine?
Mm-hmm.
Can we move to... Number 3, that is adoption of the committee program for the second term.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that program?
Yeah, the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. The bottom line.
That's
it,
the
bottom line. problem that arises out of the planning workshop. Am I correct? Again, yeah, but we have actually gone through this after the workshop and we agreed on it. So this one shouldn't be a problem. Am I correct? We went through it and we agreed. And it was supposed to be that's all the adoption for today. So can we have someone adopting this program? Robinson?
Before the adoption, Chair, I was going to do a for my question. Thank you very much. I just want to check, I'm not going to do an overtime visit. It's only the routine until the routine is open. Or I'm doing that and then
we
can change the
routine. We are allowed to. Sorry?
Can I just say something?
The only episode was I think 2009.
Come
again?
This was only for this term.
Yes. It was only since 2009. Yes. And I think there was a decision that we not going to do this in that term for the short. We're going to do it in the final term.
Yes.
That's what the site was. The other name just asking about this.
Okay. Is that what you agreed upon? Can I remind you?
Mm-hmm.
I think we, because it's a short term, I think remember that, I like to say that there's an issue about our service, but when we also looked at the planning teams, we had looked at the next term, and then seen some oversight budgets on some of the proposed oversight budgets for the next term, and not to be able to do it now.
Honourable member, are you hearing that since the term is already short, we agreed that we would do oversight visits on during the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we agreed upon. Okay. So, did we have someone a hand that will propose for the adoption of the program? We have Robinson, a second, huh? I don't want all the time to thank you for seconding. Okay, you just put over there. Is that the end of the mission?
Yes.
Members, okay. I was having a bit of a concern, not only about you, but we were told we had a week sitting and a check-in system, and we were told that we should actually make photos of the report, or the group should make a report to the relevant political parties. About members that are not attending the committee, but I thought I would say this to caucus members before we do that, just to be fair to members that they should know that there's this move that there are complaints about members who are not frequent, you know, committee and meeting, but I thought I'd let you know before we start training.
Thank you, Chair. I think this just relates to administration and the difficulties that our staff have or our officials in May arranging meetings. I tried desperately to get hold of somebody yesterday at our office just to make sure the meeting was taking place because it wasn't on the program, although it was originally on our draft program, but it was not in Parliament's program. And I had to arrange other visits. I was supposed to be meeting with international people, and I cancelled that to be here. And then we had the problem of the meeting was supposed to be Good Hope, and then it ended up being here today. And it does make it difficult for us. And I realize that the staff had to wait for permission from the powers that be. But since you're one of the powers that be, if you could please just stress to the administration of Parliament, whether it's the WIPs or programming committees, that they give the advanced information so that we know where we are and we're not caught pits and tween and you end up not pleasing anybody and making creative a bad impression with the public about the fact that we're chopping and dancing. I think we are all in it, especially in this point. We really want to work and make a difference. But if the administration of Parliament can be improved, I think that's the easiest way.
But also, can we assist where possible? I know you do send us the messages on the cell phone, but can we, I don't know, I can't believe in getting, in seeing the meeting on the Parliament program itself. I don't know whether I'm a bit ancient or what, but I still like to see, you know, when I come at the Parliament program, I should say. So, once it's not there, then you sort of doubt whether the meeting is going on or not. You can't even phone the secretary to say, please check on the Parliament program whether the meeting is on. But I do agree with Robertson that I think it's around the administration. Now that you are through, I would also want to say, let us give ourselves, well, before I go on, if you can say what you want to say.
Chair, you know, the last presentation and there was a seminar, I mean, I put into the activity, there was a seminar on standard protocol. And I think it's very important that if we could have that seminar as well as the community on standard protocol and other information shooting, so that you are on the same level as the information issues.
Yeah, maybe what I wanted to say is similar, but not very similar, but what I was going to say that let's give ourselves thought as a committee. I think we would need to share some of the responsibilities in this committee. We'll see how we... I'm just giving you this so that you can go and spend time think about it. But I was thinking that to make our work a bit easier is to, you know, each member devote some time on specific, say if you want to deal with the issues of disability, you want to deal with the issues of women and so forth, as a committee, I'm not talking about a study group, as a committee, you know, like the issue you are raising. If we have someone dealing with treaties and protocols, then that person will be coming to the committee and, you know, and reporting what you have just said. And, you know, if someone has some thoughts on how we could tackle the issues of children, then they would come to the committee and present it, and then we will see how we do it. But I'm saying this now, it's not on the agenda, but while you go away, think as to which role would interest you, and then we'll come again and we'll discuss that how we could do it. I don't know quite the end, but I'm just putting this. You can think about it. I think it will make our work much easier and manageable. Because if we just, you know, throw in this, we're going to end up going nowhere.
Yes, Chair, because I think it's a good idea, and I want to move this forward.
come next meeting in Greenwich area, I think myself, then we can decide which areas we will bring it to the table. The other thing that I just want to know, Jefferson, our last meeting that we had,
the workshop.
I just want to find out from our researchers whether they, you know, the mandate and the program, not the program, but the areas that we are going to focus on for 2009 and then for the 5 years, whether we could perhaps have, yes, whether we could perhaps have that year. Because they did give us, but the one that's been corrected, the mandate that's been corrected, that we have that one, and then also the difference between started put under the president's team than in the new ministry. Maybe that information, that we can maybe check in the second goes through it. If we could perhaps have it now. If it is ready?
Before you, could you have what you, can I give you a chance on the book of time?
Yes, this is also a comment. I've just wanted to avoid the oversight team person of activity to serve the program, but I wish you could have somebody prepared. You know, this oversight for all committee persons from the Vatican State. You think you have oversight, you can try to find out that they have the application to set down, then see the time classes, you've got the research and so on. However, that thing, I wish you could have some preparatory presentation this year, not for all oversight, but just the next year to want to go to for oversight to this state, all this state, and also start doing the application for that. Because if you leave it until September next year, it's going to be very much mature.
Thanks for
that,
Camille. Thank you. We're looking to that. And I actually forgot, I wanted to ask the two presenters whether they fund. Do they fund church for committees? The professor spoke about a church that local government is going to have to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
I want to check with them. Do they fund such church for committee members?
Did you respond last year, your visits were on the Opetona, which is an oversight day. Looking at what in the NCOP had done around children. And we had a 2-day workshop with the Select Committee of Education, Health, Social Services, Justice and one other. And what you really funded was venue, the actual venue that could fund provincial people coming in from the provincial legislature. And then in terms of members, depending on there was an arrangement reached, but if they need to do an oversight that somewhere, there could be consideration about that, not funding everything, but contribution towards. And I think more importantly, the statement was that there needs to be a memorandum of understanding with senior presiding officers in Parliament and UNICEF. Because UNICEF has a bilateral agreement between the South African government and UNICEF, that Parliament conducts oversight over that. So, what the system's challenge has been is to actually get a meeting speaker. Because once that is formalized, issues of funding to respective committees in terms of support can be easier. Because much of the response that's come so far is that, yes, a committee can develop a relationship with a funder, but at the senior presiding officer level, be some terms of reference, memorandum or understanding to say how this UNICEF as an international donor engages with Parliament. So I think the issue of funding is dependent also on that memorandum of understanding. I think that's what she is. But just to respond to the issue of.
That should be in the thick of office.
But just to respond to the mandate, the program, it is with step as you remember, Sylvia's Sevilla was responsible for putting the business plan together. She sent that through to us on Tuesday morning, Crystal and I, and we've gone through it, and there were some, she had to do basic things like editing and formatting, and there were some inaccuracies. So we sent it back to her and said that she's responsible for changing. So once that comes back, we're hoping that we can send that to members before next Wednesday's meeting. Because the idea is that members have been able to go through the plan, the edit, and then pick up any issues that on next Wednesday morning that can be seen through. But yeah, the hiccup is around, so we are just following through on the edit which she needs to amend. And then the thirdly, just around the request for information, for example, treaties and laws. We've made chairperson a file for different sectors, so for children, youth, disability, and women, each and every legislation, treaty, and so forth. But the challenge that I find in terms of research is we don't have files or folders or dividers. And Elisa was saying, she can make photocopies, but she doesn't have files to put in all these things. So, I don't know. Or maybe that could be helpful if we can liaise with, maybe to say in the fortnight, so maybe by next Wednesday, if you can bring a hard file, then we can liaise, and then we also have an idea of what, which member is interested in what, and we can tailor make your file depending on your needs. So there'd be basic information that every member would get, but depending on your speciality, from the main file that she person has, you put in your appropriate
which will take you back, you'll have to check in your spare time as to what the parliament budget and what is it for and how much understanding they have and all that when we don't have the proper social listening in. That is part of our oversight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think one thing is important, we as the parliamentary members, our core function is to oversight, and it's a core function of parliament itself. So I think when it comes to these meetings, like you got that chairperson, chair meeting, speak to us on our behalf, you know, when it comes to money that's given to us. Because there are certain, like, that's all of them, and the facilities that they're not having. And we are supposed to have those from aging perspective, because that is our core role or duty as parliament. And new legislation, more is given for the duty of parliamentarians than for the staff itself.
About receiving some of the things electronically. Because really, you know, our IT world is very far ahead in all of it. And we, like the draft program, for instance, we can download this on our cell phone so that we can go back to it and say, we don't,
have to have a carry all the ready stomach and have, you know, actually everything comes, just asking whether they could. Likely this is this problem, I think I'll test was able to get it tomorrow. The mandate and all of that other information. And Shepperton and like the draft programs, I understand the minute. I understand that this would most probably be best if it's a manual, but it can also be sent. The other things I can understand is maybe much more difficult. But whether they could consider that, because it will make our things so much easier to diarize everything.
I also think that the research shows the cognitive systems do have information of your sickle cells. They can do your sickle cells as well.
Yeah.
I think that they do have that. If they don't, then you can correct it.